Now, if you'd open your Bible to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 8. And trying to stay in touch, in tune with what's going on in our world. So therefore, I would want to remind you that Satan, our arch enemy, our adversary, our accuser, is the god of this world system. That's from the North Pole to the South Pole. He's the boss of the world system, no matter even in this country, all countries. And therefore, what do we know about as his outworking of Babel, Genesis 11, all the way coming up, working into Babylon, Revelation 17. What do we know about him? Chapter 8, the Jews knew about him. The Jews knew about him in the wrong way. And therefore, when we read directly in chapter 8 of the Lord's judgment of the Jews because of their thinking, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." Why not? "Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, keeping that in mind, he's not going to show a direct, simple, objective understanding of the truth. He's not going to do that. So no matter how you cut the cookie, he's not going to do that. And we'll pick it up Sunday if the Lord tarries. Now, over to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, just remembering, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and picking up, please, in verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're deceiving, deceived, and being deceived." So when does our human population on planet Earth, Ephesians 2, 3, 2 and 3, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, "The god of this world, the devil, prince of the power of the air, is the controller. He's everything is working. He's working. He's the father of lies, etc. Deception. I'm going to give you the truth." And so thus, all of us that are humans on planet Earth, what do we know? Well, we know that us humans love darkness rather than light. That's what we know. So as long as you're in the dark, it's awful hard to make a big issue about what is right and what is wrong, because you can't see anyway. You couldn't see the color charts, so what's the difference what you call whatever? This group can say A, and this group can say B, and it doesn't make any difference. And add to that which you know, and that is what? That in the process of Isaiah 5 and 20 and all of those things that you know, what do we do? What did the world do? The Jews do. We call darkness light and light darkness. And we call good evil and evil good. And we twist everything. So we would need to see that so that we understand that. Now, so in the light of that, here we are living in under these conditions. Now, if you were living in the days of Davy Crockett, you'd be living in certain conditions and certain characteristics of the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you were living in the days of George Washington, you'd have a different kind of day. And as a believer, that's what you'd have to live in and there. But we aren't living in any of those days. This is our day. They never knew our day. They never knew. No one in history has known your day, our day, that we're experiencing right now. No one. Oh, they've had all kinds of things that are similar, no question. But the world, a global condition, never have they known that. It's our experience. And therefore, what do we know? Well, we already prepared the foundations so that we know that whatever's going on is going to be going on. God is going to be doing his thing, and devil's doing his thing. And therefore, and you remember, in the process, cover-up going way back to 2016, all of these are facts, straight reality, no matter how stuff you read. And that cover-up by the cover-uppers, that cover-up by the cover-uppers needed to be kept covered up. So we went all the way through the election, and here we are, the cover-uppers, cover-uppers. And now the position has been given where they can permanently try to cover it up. So we never know. Never know. All the reports and all the things, never hear. What we knew, it doesn't matter. Now, having said that, the reason I bring that up, I want you to be exercised. I want to be exercised. God, how am I going to handle the world I live in now? And we've been doing that in all kinds of different ways. And so therefore, since humans are caught up in the conditions, because the people, all that you live with, the people that live in your town, your city, your state, your country, and live in the world, all those people are facing the same conditions. And in one way or another, they all have a mask, something. And they're all facing them, those conditions. So therefore, they're caught up. And therefore, the hope, the expectancy of how things would go in George Washington's day, if you lived, is one thing. Our hope and expectancy of our world, our 7.5, 7.75 billion, whatever they are, people, they have their expectancies. They're struggling with what? The world they live in. Locally, in their own family, in their own city, in their own country, etc. They're struggling with that. No matter how you cut the cookie, that's what they're living with. And they're trying to what? Survive and succeed? They're trying to do all of that, and they're trying to do that. Now, either they're being, and I hear that, the little bit I hear sometime in the news, I hear that, and I thought that was very good. Several, they say it several times, different people do. And if you do, you're listening to the right station, and in the process, what are they going to say? Fear. They're playing the game with fear. And then they say the next thing, control. I said, isn't that good? I applaud them. Good for you. Conformity, I add that. Capture. So, A, the human world is being led, and we know the God of this world is busy leading. So we know they're led. So some are led willingly. Some are led, they just go, sheep, whatever they go, the people go, whatever they do. And some are led willingly, and others are led not quite so willingly. They think that they are in control, and they don't think they're quite so led. And I understand that. God bless them. We're all trying to figure out everything in this life, in this country. A very difficult time, to say the least. And then there's the therefore that are helpless, totally helpless. They're just helpless. That's all. That's all you can say. They're helpless. So, having said that little bit, and there they are, and we're all there, and in the process, how do they face the future? How do they face the future? Well, George Washington, as we said, Davy Crockett, Each one faced it in the light of where they lived. And in the process, our world, our humans have to face it. And they have to face it. Now, how are they going to face it? Well, they're going to have, and they feel they can still, we do. We can do some things. We don't use the word hope. What we do, we go to work, home, school, play, kitchen, the refrigerator, whatever we do. And we do it with some assurance that we just know what we're going to do, and we know what's going to be there, and we know everything. We don't, but that's how we go. We don't really think of the word hope going that way, because we just go. And then there's the things that we don't know. And then we hope so. And we hope so. And we hope so. Now, as they're hoping so, here's the God of this world, and here's God in his prophetic word, letting all of history outwork itself. Now, in hoping so, I hope I retire. I hope this works out. I hope the test is good. I hope this is all right. And I'm hoping. Now, we have to hope a lot of things. And we're hoping. We're hoping. But the hoping is handled by people who are not able to be assured and certain of what they're hoping for. They don't know that. They're hoping it. Under the conditions. Marriage, very difficult. So the future. If I need to know where hope, how my future is, say it simply. And if you're really going to think about it, people hear the news. They don't want to hear the news. They don't want to hear. They hope things are going to work out, survive, and succeed again. We hope it's all going to work out. That's the future. But that future is not bright and is in the darkness. And so all of our expectancies, I don't care who you are on planet Earth, governor or whatever, all our expectancies are conditioned, not by us. And each person, no matter who you are, is governed by 1,000 other things around them. Even though they may be the boss, the dictator, everything is governing them, like it or not. So, that's our world. And our society, the little bit I got, you guys know, girls know more than I do on it. The school, the kids, suicide, all kinds of things, depression, discouragement, classrooms where you're blocked in and you're supposed to be blocked in, and it's education system and all of it. That's what we're living in. And that's the conditioning the human mind right now about their future, isn't it? Where is their future? Now, so we as believers don't want to get caught up in that. And I want to just do what you already know. I want it clear in your head and heart, in my head and heart, as much as possible. So that I'm trying to help you understand. You know all this stuff better. You're experiencing it. You're out there experiencing it. Family, friends, people you work with, school, you're experiencing it. Now, God, help us. Therefore, in the light of that, God, here we are looking. So there's a word that I'd like you to look at. Before I do, though, I'd like you to go over, just to pick up the movement here a little bit, over to Romans chapter 4, if I can. Over Romans in chapter 4. And in Romans in chapter 4, you are reminded, I spent so long talking to you, I didn't. Well, chapter 4, verse 25. The end. Who was delivered, our Lord, raised up, verse 24, if you had time, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification to be declared righteous. Now, having said that, that's why he rose. He died. What do we do with communion the other day, Sunday? He died. Communion is what? Reminder. Communion, fellowship, sharing together, a oneness, a unique oneness, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're to enjoy. And that's because he took us to the cross. We recognized our death. We recognized he buried. We died with him. He put us in the ground in coffin, and he rose again. And he seated. All of that became ours when I understand that he took my place as the perfect substitute, the perfect savior, the perfect sacrifice. He took my place. Now, having said that, hang on, over to Romans chapter 10. And we share together in Romans chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 9. That if thou should confess with thy mouth, we did this Sunday, so I'm not going just quickly, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we aren't talking about believing his crucifixion, because that you have to get past the crucifixion to get to the resurrection. The resurrection won't mean a hill of beans to anyone if you don't understand that you were crucified. It's because you were crucified with him that the resurrection is relevant. If you haven't been crucified with him, what he did is out there and we're way back here, and there's no relationship whatsoever between us now. So therefore, he rose again to justify us. So when I believe as a believer, and you guys do, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. All kinds of ways to do this. When you're done, you'll say, that's what it says in the Bible. That's right. That's what I was trying to tell you. That's what God says. Page 1, page 10, page 200. He says, that's what he says. He doesn't change. So, 1 Peter and chapter 1, going if I can, please, in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, we understand, what do? We died with him and he rose again. And we understand he crucified me. He took my sins in his own body on the tree. So therefore, when I believe, I'm believing in the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again and seated. And I believe. So when I do that, God saves me and gives me a wonderful that relationship to God. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, etc. I have that relationship. And what does that do? It gives me, verse 3, I have been begotten again unto a living hope. Now, where did I have that hope? That hope is by way of the resurrection. So, the world can't have all the hope they have is this distance. Watch, from here to the back. That's all I can see. I can't see beyond that. I can't see beyond, neither can you. You can't. Our whole life, but we all predict and dream and wish what's on the other side that we could see. But we can't see. That's the trouble. We can't see. So our hopes, human hope, is hopelessly hopeless. Does that come out all right? It's hopeless. It's not doing any good. Not all the hope in the world. And all you can do is say, I don't believe anything when I die. Well, you'll find out. But in your gut, you know, even though you bankrupt your heart like that. Now, so here we're talking about a being begotten again unto a living hope. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. And why is that hope secure? Hang on. Because it's reserved. Your hope is reserved. Where is it reserved? In heaven. That's where it is for you. Who are kept, we're here. Our hope is there, we're kept. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it isn't our time, we're moving through time. We can't stop. The mood and the motion, we're moving. And we've said this 100 times lately. And we can't stop. Can't stop the clock, can't stop the calendar. We're going. And we're sitting here now, and 20 minutes from now we're sitting here, and then we're sitting out there. That's what we're doing. It's all moving. And we're moving into the down, but we only can see so far. And we think we see far enough, but we know we don't see far enough, so we don't. And books are being written all over the place. Very helpful books, and some aren't so helpful. Books being written to tell you the analysis of everything. If you read them all, you'd be very brilliant, but no one would want you, because no one wants to hear the truth. The God of this world hates the truth. So who wants you don't want to hear the truth. That's why the removal, that's horrible now, like the mafia gangsters getting rid of all the bad guys, getting rid of the good guys, stopping everything that would have any light, a newspaper, anything. Tell us what's really there, but you won't tell us. You can't, you won't even let us hear. Wow, okay. So we're looking at a living hope. So I'm not looking for any hope. That's what I want you to get, if not, but you don't go very far. All the hopes that you can have, make sure you put them in the right location. On planet Earth, and they're only as good, like in James. If you assume, hang on, I hate to do this. Don't lose 1 Peter. Go over to James. You're right next door, actually. Over to James and remind yourself, chapter 4. God says that in different ways. This is one of them. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not, let me read verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. This is what our future, this is what I'm going to do when I graduate, this is what I do next week, this is what I'm going to do next month, okay. Whereas, verse 14, you know not what you shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's a moment. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. So if he that thinketh he knoweth everything knoweth nothing. You know nothing. Think of 1 Corinthians 8. You know nothing as you ought. I know, but you know nothing as you ought. But we know. I'm safe. Really? Okay, hang back over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, I'm going to read verse 5 quickly again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Whereas you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 8, whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Well, I'm saved. I'm looking to go to be with God's wonderful person and presence. Verse 19. How were you saved? Not with silver or gold, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, remember all that, it's very important, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, verse 20, before the foundation of the world. That's when all of us said, the lamb slain, for you were ever created. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made clear, public, plain, in these last times for you, that who by him do believe in God, and that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, and your faith, and that reason, he rose again, reason you believe in your heart, he rose again, the end of verse 21, that purpose, your faith, your faith, the word faith, believe, you're trusting in God, walk by faith, not by sight, and hope might be in God. So I try to get you, where's our hope? Not here, not in any way. I understand we do, and I use all the terminology, we come and go, and we talk about, I hope that works and stuff, but all of that is trivial compared to, I don't trust any of that. I wouldn't even hope anything. I'm not sure about anything. I'm going to be sure about things, but I'm not. Knowing, but not knowing. Now, so in doing so, God, what are we going to do? Our hope is in you. Hang on. That's where it is. So God, we're looking to you. That's right. So our hope, and what is the word hope that we're looking at all the way through, even though we just get started? All the word hope, it is the word anticipation, expectation, to be anticipating something to happen rightly and surely with certainty. I'm hoping with the expectation, the expectation of all that I'm looking to happen is going to happen. Why is that different than all our hopes and fears? Hopes on planet Earth. Because God, where is our expectancy, our hope, our anticipation when we're looking for something to happen? It is located in God. And hang on, it will never make it tonight, but boy, I wish I could. That's where your hope is, God, God. Now, that's where it is. So what hope of us believers, what are we doing? We're looking to God, and that's where our hope is. So we go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through the bumbling, whatever system we live in, and up against. But our hope, our whole expectancy that moves us down the corridor of time, moment by moment, is in God. Our expectancy, our anticipation is in God, who made it possible for us to have eternal life. Eternal life. What about eternal life? Eternal life is eternal life. You and I have physical life. What do you mean, physical life? Well, you have a relationship to your body, and as long as the body is functioning, then you can live and you have it. So you have an earthly physical life, but it's very temporal. And the condition of your physical life depends on how much you feel and how good your body is working. And our body is, that's your body, that's physical life. You enjoy it 24 hours a day. You work, school, home, you do it. We aren't talking about that life. What did God give you? He gave you eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is His life. It's a relationship. It has no beginning and it has no end. Here, this isn't that, but make believe it's a history book. And here's the Berlin Wall, and we turn the pages, and history goes on. And I'm going to go back to that. Here's the Alamo, Pearl Harbor, the Twin Towers, right? And going, and here they all are, and here we are, and the pages are still going because they don't stop. Now, what do I see? What do you see? If you look at this history book, make believe, you see the beginning and you see the end of history, don't you? This is a history. This was a full history. Here's God's history. Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21. There they are. All of history, right here. Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Paul, here they are. Here it is. Now, and if you were there, we're here, we're living through this. That's what we're living through. We're living through it. And we have time, don't we? We don't know about the weather tomorrow. We don't know if we turn the page, but we can't turn the page yet because it's the future. And we don't know whether we're going to get 3 feet of snow or 2 inches. We don't know because we can't turn the page. That's our history. And we're hoping for things. And then we're hoping for this. And then my job, I hope my job works out. Or I got a special thing coming up about this, about that. And I'm hoping. And we haven't got there, but we're hoping. We haven't got there. But eternal life that you have doesn't do that. God is your hope. And you're sitting there. Can you not see Genesis 1:1? Make believe. Can't you see the beginning of this? Can you see the end of this? Can you see everything? Watch. Can you see all of that? Sure you can. All you do is turn the page. I can look at it either way. I can do this with history. Can't I? I can't do it for me, but when I'm out here, I can do this whole thing. God has given you eternal life, a unique relationship to God. And out here in eternity, all of that is just like this. Do you understand? The beginning and the end of your life took place on Calvary's cross. And when God gave you a relationship to Him, that relationship is here. Do you understand? It's here, Christ in you, but it's out here where it has no beginning and it has no end. So the hope you have out here takes into consideration all how much snow is going to be there and what it's going to be next week. All of it takes into consideration, all at once. And that's why our hope is in God, so that we have that understanding. Do you understand? It's just life, real science, real laws, truth. God has no beginning and God has no end. And you've got a relationship to God. And so God says your hope isn't whether this is going to work out tomorrow. That is all there. There's no question. You have to trust God. Walk by faith and not by sight. But your hope is in God. And when did that start? The moment you received him as your Savior. And it has, when's this? It doesn't matter what page is turned. It doesn't matter what happens anywhere. Because your hope is set. You're locked on to your future in God. Period. Done. That's called eternal life. And that's why your hope, and we're not going to do this. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, now the question people are going to ask you, if you understand what I'm just, don't try to explain this to anybody if they aren't saved. If they don't know God, there's no way on earth they can put this together. There's no way they can understand eternal life apart from the life that God has given you, which is his life. And if you don't understand God, you can't understand eternal life. You're looking for a feeling, you're looking for existence. No. No, eternal life is God. Now, so God, people are going to look, and they see if I understand. I'm not going to explain this. I'm going to explain why I'm trusting God. Watch. Why I'm trusting God. I don't know the next page, and neither do they. But I'm trusting God, and as the next page happens, I'm still trusting God, and I'm not falling apart because of the election or some other dumb things that happened. I'm not doing that. Work didn't come out right. My job didn't come out right. My family didn't come out right. My marriage didn't come out right. But God comes out right. God does. And that's what they're going to see. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify, set apart, verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Don't be afraid of their terror, nor neither be troubled. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God, where? In your heart. You believe in your heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that God raised him from the dead. What happened? You received the Lord into your heart. Verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer, an accounting. They want to know. You want to know. An answer to every man that asketh you a reason. What are they asking you a reason about? They aren't asking you why you go to church. No, they're asking you why the hope is in you. They don't care why you go to church. Go wherever you want, do whatever you want, believe whatever you want. They do, you do. But when you have hope that they can't get a handle on, and there's no one in this life apart from God that can get a handle on it. In fact, it says, in Ephesians, you can't get there yet now. We were of those that had no hope. There is no hope apart from God. Why? Because you can't. You're in darkness, facing evil, and you're headed down the corridor. That's inevitable. And if you knew where it was going to go, you'd get saved quickly. But you don't even want to know where it's going. Now, so therefore, give a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So God, I want to answer now, in a little bit, at least a little, start it. I want to answer, what's the reason? I want to know, I want to be able to give it to myself. No one else ever will care, period, facing reality. But for me, I want to know why the hope's in me. That's what I want to know. What is the basis for this hope? Otherwise, I'm hoping that my hope will come out all right when I think about God. What kind of thing is that? I hope I believe the Bible right. I hope I understood it right. What kind of thing is that? No. So here we are, God. We're going to have, I want to know a reason. So therefore, why do I have this hope? What is the reason? The lamb slain. Second Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy and 1:9. And you will note, please. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, picking up, please, 2 Timothy, not first. And in 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And then note it, we say it, it's all over the place, I'm just trying to, but the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What do you know before everything? What did God do? The end of verse 9, Jesus Christ before the world began. That was all settled before the world began. That'll help you when you come to the thinking. We'll think it through again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were before were all marked out ahead of time. We haven't even lived. We haven't even born. God has it all done. And we need to get saved and enter into it. Oh, that's terribly, that must be mystical, isn't it? You know, no one believes that. No, they don't. No, they don't. The dummies. They don't believe it. They don't believe what God said and what he does. And that's why we're, not you, but losers. We're helpless, hopelessly helpless out there. Now, so, over now, having said that, let's go to Ephesians. We mentioned it. Ephesians. And in chapter 2. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And picking up, please, in verse 12, if I may. That in that time, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. That's what you were. You were like that. Look at, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that is now working in the children of unbelief, the children that don't believe. That's what's happening. Now, hang on, over in Ephesians chapter 1. Remember the purpose of his calling, his holy calling. Okay, Ephesians, and in chapter 2, chapter 1, I should say. Ephesians 1 and verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now God, and we're putting all it means, heaven, God decided before you were ever created to save whosoever that would believe. Christ died for them. He died for everybody. That's what he did. And he did that. And then he calls. He summons us. Call to summons. An invitation. He summons us to get saved. That's what he did. Genesis 3:15. We did it Sunday. Get saved. That's the whole Lamb of God. That's all about God. He gets saved. Uh-huh. And the eyes of understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God's calling. Not your calling. Not my calling. Who wants you to get saved? Well, my neighbor does, my husband does, my wife does, whatever. No. God does. Salvation isn't about us. It's about God. About what God has done for you when he created you. And it's all finished. It's all finished. You just have to believe and enter into a relationship to God out here that out here that works in here. In the daily life. You live so many years on planet Earth, that's what you did. Now, so having said that, God, this wonderful hope of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, God, here's this wonderful, wonderful hope that we're to have in your wonderful, wonderful person. Chapter 4, in the light of your calling. And God, what did you call us to? You know, chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. God gave you, what happened when you got saved? Well, I was this, I was that, I was that. No, when you got saved, God gave you a wonderful relationship to him, and he made you a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're part of his body. You're still here, related to the same family, the same bloodlines and all of that stuff. You're there, but all of that has been overridden by God's wonderful grace to save you. He saved you from your family. God will send a sword into your family. Your family will be your worst enemy in many times. And you have to say, hey, listen, God saves us. You know, think of Matthew chapter 10. God saves us from that. But that doesn't mean we don't love and don't work through everything. We do. But we understand we have a unique relationship to God, regardless of father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife. You belong to God. Now, having said that, that's your vocation. It isn't going to school. It isn't going to work. It isn't going to whatever you do, being a husband, being a wife, being a human. It isn't about that. Your vocation now is to outlive the life that God has given you. That's it. Now, I say, well, that's the rather narrow limit. You bet it is narrow. Otherwise, you're trying to have 50-50 and you can't do it. You can't do it. You've got to have it. It's either all or nothing. Either I enjoy being saved or I don't enjoy being saved. That's all. Now, over to chapter 4, sliding over if I can, to verse 4. That, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, which is what we shared with communion. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one, called, as you were summoned, called in one hope of your calling. How many hopes? One. How many hopes do you have to have? One. Where is your hope? In God. And you're locked on to his person, his presence. Now I say, well, I don't. Well, then you don't have it. That's all. No, you can play with it in your mind. You're either going to, by faith, walk by faith, or you don't. That's all. And you can keep doing the normal stuff and live another 10 years, maybe. That's what you can do. Now, so having said that a little bit, in the light of that, over to, why not, Philippians. Philippians in chapter 3. Remember, it's a holy calling, a high, heavenly, holy calling. And here, remember the light of Philippians chapter 3. God, what are we going to do? Paul, remember, Paul's in prison, so don't think he's having a picnic. Paul's in prison, and he's going to be in prison again, and then he's going to get killed. Now, chapter 3 of Philippians, I'll even read a little, for closing with it, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, lay hold of, to take possession of, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. God has a wonderful plan for my life, and I would like to go for it. God has a wonderful will for me to live another day, another day. I don't know the days. God does, but I'm going to trust him. That's how I'm going to get there. That's how I'm going to get there. God knows all this. He's here. I'm here. You're seated in heavenly places. But you're exercising here. You're experiencing here. So therefore, here's next week and the week after that. And here's next year if the Lord tarries. Here we are. God, you're outworking that. I want, Paul said, I want to move through this properly. God has in mind what is going to happen, and that's what I want. I want God's will as I go through this. Thick or thin, easy or hard, much or little. And that's what I want. I want God's will in it in a most wonderful way. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You already got there. You're pretty smart. No. We're awful stupid. Not you guys, of course. But I want you to know, the more you know, the more you understand you don't know. You understand that? And all you're going to do is be around a while, and people say, you should know so. No, I don't. No, sir. I have never enjoyed being so stupid in my life. Do you understand? I don't know. I have no, and you couldn't even imagine. I got over 17 years, for 17 years, 24 hours a day, never only stopping for lunch and go to the bathroom. Add up the hours in 17 straight years. And that's what I've been in the Bible over that. You think of that. 17, I would graduate by college after 17 straight years, wouldn't you? I'm not only sharing that, it's personal. I'm sharing it with you. I want you to know the reality of this. You say, well, I know, baloney. Yeah. People tell me, oh, I know the Bible. Okay. What I know is God. That's what I learned, to know God. That's what it's all about. Do you understand? You know, I studied. I graduated from Podunk. Well, that's good. I didn't graduate from anywhere. I did, but I didn't. I don't know anything anyway. I'm trying to help you to enjoy being you. That's all. Just be you. I'm me. I'm struggling along, and that's what you do. And enjoy being. Therefore, I press, verse 15, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press, I pursue, hunting as a lion and antelope. I pursue toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Where are you running? High, heavenly, holy calling. God, you got a wonderful plan for my life, and I want to finish it. I want to finish it. It's a prize. It's a privilege to pursue it. Am I making sense to you? And that's what it's about. All the rest of it, that's hope. And we're living in an extraordinary time where it's easy to be hopeless and easy to be helpless because we can't do a thing about fixing all the stuff that is keep happening to eliminate everything. Only to people that know the stuff. The other people won't care. They never had enjoyed it anyway. The freedoms of these United States. Wow.